Greetings, all of God's people. This is again Mordecai Joseph, 1-9, lesson 376. And at this point, Moses is telling Israel that at a certain point in their journeys, God separated, set aside, sanctified, made holy the tribe of Levi to serve him and to serve the people and to minister unto him, and obviously that they did in the tabernacle, and also for the needs of the people. So their worship of God was, in essence, divided by two. They had to offer the daily sacrifices to God, being the incense and all kind of things like that. And also because this is the marriage, and the one part of the marriage, that is the wife, is not perfect, it's going to commit sin and iniquity. Well, in order to continue to remain in that marriage, and to be holy and sanctified and all that, well, she had to bring sacrifices and offerings before this very priest here, who were now going to atone for them, you see, in the name of God. And that's how they serve Israel, and they bless Israel. And in blessing Israel, it's not just by saying, you know, may the Lord bless you. There's that famous blessing of the Kohanim, or the priests, which God commanded Israel, you see, were the priests, and they still do it to this very day in the Orthodox synagogues. And I say Orthodox because in the Orthodox synagogues to this very day, the priests, during every service, especially on the Sabbath, the bless and holidays, obviously many other occasions, they actually stand there a certain part after the reading of the law and the prophets, and they bless Israel, and they do it I believe a couple of times. You know, as I was growing up, I was going through that ceremony, not myself, but you know, watching it, seeing it. I myself could not do it because even though I come from a priestly family, but my father is not, he's a son, that is, you know, his mother was a daughter of a priest, but his father apparently was not, so he could not do it, and I could not do it. But anyway, this is what they do to this very day, and the Orthodox continues to do it to this very day according to the commandment of God. Unfortunately, in the conservative and the reform movements, they disregard this law of God, and they allow the rabbi or anybody else, sometimes it is a woman, she happens to be a rabbi, and sometimes just other people, to pronounce this blessing. You see, there are a lot of messianic synagogues where you see them also do it. And God made it very plain, I want the sons of Aaron to do it. Which means, if you are not a son of Aaron, you have no business proclaiming this blessing. A lot of people, you know, they just lean to their own understanding, do their own thing, and God is not listening to that blessing. Because it's not in accordance with His command. No more than He would listen to a blessing that some people, you know, they put in a ham, a pork, or any other creature that is unclean, and has God's blessing on it. He isn't going to bless it. He calls it an abomination. A lot of people in their ignorance and blindness do it all the time. You know, you all hear about the Easter ham. What a horrible thing to do, and what a blasphemy against God. You take His Passover, where He passes over our sins, and say, forget about this name, and call it Easter, after the goddess, you know, Ishtar, Ashtoreth. That's what they call the feast, Easter. That's the reason why they call it, because they've been keeping it all along. And when they supposedly followed Christ, you know, they just changed names. Well, let's bring our old pagan ideas with us. And instead of Passover, we don't want that Jewish stuff. We call it Easter. And then they have a ham. They call it Easter ham. And they put it on the table. And they ask God to bless it. Give thanks for Him. Double abominations in the sight of God. That's how the children of Israel are. The people of God. Those who call themselves by the name of Christ. Followers of Christ, they call themselves, you know, the body of Christ, Christianity, Christians, whatever it may be. We're so blind and ignorant. And as much as God hates it and abhors it, still, ultimately speaking, though He hates us for doing these kind of things, He still is going to show us grace at the end of the road. But not if we come to the knowledge of the truth and still despise it. For such people, He says, there is no repentance. Because we are putting the sacrifice of Christ in open shame. You see? And those are the kind of people that will come before Christ and will say, Lord, Lord, you know, where are your people too? And He says, I don't even know you. He shuts the door and He throws them out to a place where they don't like to be. And they're going to be consumed there, gone forever. You see? So we should never play games with God. That's what the Apostle Paul said. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hand of the Eternal. You read in the book of Hebrews chapter 12. So don't play games with God. He's a consuming fire. That's Jesus Christ is speaking about too, not only the Father. because he's our judge and he's going to send in judgment, and those who have been playing games with the law of God all this time and despising it and having contempt for it, well, they've got all kind of reasons. Well, my church taught otherwise, and so said that and all that. Well, who cares what they said? We live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, not of men, no matter what his name and his title is. All that is vomit to God is meaningless. And so, this is what we read here. So, Levi was separated for that purpose. And unfortunately, because Levi oftentimes did not do their job, well, the people did not know the law, and so they went after other gods. And they still do to this very day. When the clergy does not do its job properly, and the clergy are public enemy number one of God, by far, the overwhelming majority of them. And of course, most people don't realize it. That's the way it was with Israel. The very few were the prophets of God. The majority were the prophets of Israel, not of God. And that was the clergy at the time. Public enemy number one. They led them astray always. They lied to them. They deceived them. They scattered them in all directions. And God spoke many times in many places through many prophets about the evil shepherds of Israel and what he's going to do with them and to them when the time comes. And he's going to retrieve his flock that was dispersed all over the mountains and hills and valleys everywhere, and they were devoured by everyone. And they are to this very day. So they are the ones that should fear the most. And yet they don't. They continue to deceive people, being deceived themselves, believing lies, and the Word of God means absolutely nothing to them. And they go to the words that fit, you know, their theology, you know, be sweet and nice and do good and things like that, and they forget other parts conveniently. Because it goes contrary to all their teachings, and they couldn't care less about God. What the church, their church, their seminary taught them is more important to them than their own opinions and ideas. Well, the time of judgment is coming near, and they're going to be the first ones who are going to be brought to judgment and paraded before all for their shame and nakedness for what they've done to the people of God. If you happen to be in that category, you better start fearing and trembling before God, because he's not respectful. You know, he doesn't respect any persons. You see, the soul that sins, it shall die. And he cannot say, the devil made me do it. He doesn't accept that excuse. Or, well, the church taught me that, or I've been deceived and lied to. You see, when you're confronted with the truth of God, you have a choice. And this is what God chose Levi for. And they haven't done it properly as they should. And unfortunately, that's what happened. And that's why God said in many places throughout the prophets that because of the kind of conduct on the part of the Levites or the priests, you see, despising God, despising his law, he's going to make them vile in the sight of the people. And most people don't have much respect for the ministry, for the clergy, you see. In the past 2,000 years, they mocked them, they made fun of them, and things like that. They don't hold them in high trust, and only very few do, in the gullible sheep that follow them. That's the reason why many people departed from religion. They have no place for it in their life, because they see a lot of hypocrisy there and lies. You see? And the Levites have not been faithful, unfortunately, though they were separated in order to teach the people of God the difference between the holy and the profane. They haven't done that properly, and to this very day, all of us are paying the penalty for it. And as we read before that, and it's worth going through it again, and the end of the story, when God is on this earth and the temple is going to be rebuilt and Israel is going to be back in her place in Jerusalem, the wife of God, the marriage is there and so forth. Now this is what God says about the Levites that were separated from the beginning to do a job and they haven't done it properly. He says through Ezekiel chapter 44, the last eight chapters speak about the future. When God is going to gather all of Israel, after that, you know, they're all in the in Jerusalem and in Israel, throughout the land of the temple in Jerusalem and all that are in place. You see, this is what God says at this point. And this is Jesus Christ, who just came down earlier in this account, and he's running over the face of the earth, and all of his people Israel are gathered back to their land. And he says in verse 5, in chapter 44, and the Lord said to me, this is Jesus Christ speaking, Son of man, mark well, see with your eyes and hear with your ears all that I say to you concerning all the ordinances of the house of the Lord and all its laws, all its Torah in the plural. Mark well who may enter the house and all who go out from the sanctuary. And Ezekiel, when he's going to be resurrected, he has a job, and he hasn't finished his job. You know, in the past, he lived as a prophet, and he spoke what he spoke at the time, but he still has a job in the future, and this is the last 8 chapters you read about the job of Ezekiel. He's going to be in charge here of the rebuilding of the temple, of the instructions, of the setup of everything else. That's exactly what he's telling him here. And of course, in between, he's going to be dead for 2,500 years. You see? Or 2,600 years, whatever. But here it is when he's resurrected. That's his job at this point. You see, it's only a couple of 2 seconds and a half for God. You see? And then there he is again, standing. So he tells him to do that. And then he says in verse 6, "Now say to the rebellious, to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, O house of Israel, let us have no more of all your abominations." Now this is not speaking to his generation. They're all dead. And all those who came after them, they're all dead. You see, he's speaking by the generation who's going to be alive at the time when Ezekiel is resurrected. The remnant of the 10% of Israel are going to be left from the tribulation to come, are brought back to the land, and it is to them that he delivers this message. You see, it's not an old time prophecy, it's a future time prophecy. Future headlines. Verse 7, when you brought in foreigners uncircumcised in the heart, so he's going to remind them of what was done in the past. They themselves didn't do it, you see, but their forefathers, the Levites, the priests, have done it, you see. But God holds all of them accountable for it to this very day. He says, when you brought, what he means by that, your forefathers, when you brought foreigners uncircumcised in the heart and uncircumcised in the flesh. Oh, they said, you know, well, what is circumcision for? You know, it's done away with. Christ did it for me. I don't need to do it. And people stand up claiming to be the servants of God, priests of God, ministers of God. And say, well, there is a change in the law. From now on, you don't need circumcision anymore. And we're not going to repeat, you know, that because we went through it thoroughly before that. It's still there. God made it very plain. He said, you brought these kind of people there in the past. And they continue to do it throughout the past, you know, 2,000 years. Bring people who are uncircumcised in the spirit and uncircumcised in the flesh. He says, you, in this case, he speaks specifically, obviously, about his temple, to be in my sanctuary, to defile it. A lot of people build buildings and they call it the sanctuary of God, and that's what they do there. And they're just as guilty. He said, this is my house. And when he offered my food, the fat and the blood, then they broke my covenant because of all your abominations, be it the physical sacrifices or the spiritual sacrifices, the teachings of God, where they mix it up with the truth and error, and that becomes vomit. And that's an abomination, he calls it. And you have not kept my charge of my holy things, be it the physical or the spiritual, the spirit, you know, the truth, that's spiritual. That's the meat and the flesh of God that we must eat and drink. But you have set others to keep charge of my sanctuary for you. You know, you let other people that are not worthy to be doing this kind of job, ignorant people, you give them those kind of jobs to be the teachers of my people. So apply it both ways, physically and spiritually. It's all applicable, and to this very day. Thus says the Lord God, no foreigner. That's the law of God. That's written with his own finger, so to speak, in the hearts and the minds of those who have wrote it down in the paper. You see? That's the law of God. How many people are being taught that? No foreigner. Uncircumcised in heart, that is without the Holy Spirit, or uncircumcised in flesh. And God would say here, read my lips. How many people are doing it? None of them, he says, shall enter into my sanctuary, including any foreigner who is among the children of Israel. You see the constant terminology that God uses? Israel and all the others are foreigners. They remain foreigners. They will always be foreigners. Yes, they will become part of the people of Israel. Some of them are grafted actually into the bride, but all the others will become children. They will still be the other nations. Israel only is chosen. So it says, including all the other foreigners. I don't care who is among the children of Israel. And the Levites who went far from me, and I'm speaking about the Levites, and all of them, mind you, were separated from the tribes of Israel. You see, he said, all the Levites who went far from me, when Israel went astray, and they constantly did it, and then finally the nation of Israel totally went astray, never came back to God. The Jews were the only one, even then only a part of them, that remained faithful, and to this very day, at least to the degree that they understand, Even then, they've got major problems, you see. But he said, the Levites went far away from me. When Israel went astray, who strayed away from me, you see, it's not Moses, it's from me. It's not Judaism, it's from me. They went away from me into their own teachings, their own lies, their own abominations, their own deceptions. They went straight away from me after their idols. Their idols could be other things that they created with their own hands, or the people they raise, or the churches they follow, or the, you know, the personalities they follow, and they call them for whatever names they want to call them. And they listen to them, not to God. And they say, you listen to the church, not to the Bible. Church has authority over the Bible. All these lies. He said, you went after them. Not me. This became your idols, and they shall bear their iniquity. God said, I'm not going to forgive them for that. They're going to bear their iniquity. They're going to pay the penalty for it. Yet, there shall be ministers in my sanctuary. So still, because since they are Levites from the house of Levi, I still am going to allow them to come to the sanctuary and to do a portion of the service. And he said they are going to be as gatekeepers of the house and ministers of the house, servants, whatever there is a need there, and they shall slay the burnt offering and the sacrifice for the people. What is it that you hear in all the churches that you go to? All sacrifices are done away with. Well, this is Jesus Christ is speaking here. The Levites are going to be brought back who have been lying to people, and many of them are not Levites. You know, they think they are ministers of Jesus Christ. It's his spiritual Levites. But all of them are lying to the people of God. Here is, it's very plain. Jesus Christ is saying, you're going to come back here. I'm going to allow you to slay the sacrifices, burnt offerings, all the people, you know, the things that people offer to God, and they shall stand before them to minister to them, not to me. That's going to be their iniquity that they're going to bear. They're going to be ashamed, you see. And this would be the ministers who departed with the children of Israel as they went into captivity, in contrast to the ministers that remained with the house of Levi, that is the house of Judah, and still were faithful to this very day with all the measure of ignorance and blindness they too have. And so he says, why? You know, is it so? Because, verse 12, because the minister to them before their idols, they lied to them. They taught them lies in the past in terms of idolatry, you see. And later on, as time went by, in terms of false, you know, leaders, false brethren, false shepherds, and they taught them to follow the lies of the false churches of this world, those became their idols, because they ministered to them before their idols, and caused the house of Israel to fall into iniquity. You see? Because the sheep, what do? They just follow, you know, the leaders. They say, well, you know, they're the men of God, you know, they're the ministers of the gospel, they know what they're saying. The church knows what it is saying, you know, they've got the authority, I follow the church, no matter what. Who cares about what God said? That's the way it goes, basically. You show them the Word of God, they couldn't care less about it. But my church told me that. I'm going to follow that. This is the understanding of my church of what, you know, the Scripture says. I'm going to follow that. But God says, okay, you're going to pay the penalty for it. It says, because the minister to them before their idols and caused the house of Israel to fall into iniquity, therefore I have raised my hand in an oath against them. At this point, as he speaks to Ezekiel, he's swearing. You see, imagine that when God has to do that. And that's the verdict against all those who call themselves ministers of the gospel, or be it even rabbis that lie to their people, or any other people, whatever it may be, from other countries that, you know, they say, well, now we are Christians, we believe in that. Obviously, he's not speaking in this case about these people, but the very ones who were of the Levitical priesthood, who went into idolatry also with Israel. You know, they went after the money. That's the reason why they remained there. The faithful among them, they said, no way. They left their property, they left their cities, they left everything they had, their jobs, and they went to Judah, to the temple, to remain faithful. You see? So he's not talking about them. He's speaking about the other Levites that remained behind. Because remember, all the Levites and the priests were scattered throughout all the tribes of Israel. And as they went into captivity, they went with them. You see? And that's the category he's speaking about here. The very Levites that he separated, as Moses tells us here, to do two things. Serve him, you see, and bless Israel. Not be a curse to them and bring iniquity upon them. And so he said, I raise my hand in an oath against them, says the Eternal God, you know, Yehovah Elohim, that they shall bear their iniquity. I'm not going to forgive them. Just like he told Moses, forget about it. You're not going to go into the land. What you have done there, I'm not going to forgive you. God is not a respecter of persons. That's what he's saying here. And they shall not come near to me, to minister to me as priest, nor come near any of my holy things, nor into the most holy place, but they shall bear their shame and their abominations which they have committed. You see? Now that's what he says here to them. Nevertheless, I will make them, you know, going to be second-class ministers, second-class Levites, second-class priests. And the whole world is going to know about it. And they're going to bear their shame. All the false ministers of Israel. Nevertheless, I will make them keep charge of the temple for all its work and for all that has to be done. But the priests, in contrast, the priests, the Levites, the sons of Tzadok, there was one special family that became known as the Sadducees. You see? One family that came out of this person, Tzadok, was a righteous high priest, and he was a high priest in the days of David and then the days of Solomon. And they, you know, when they separated into the house of Israel and the house of Judah, they did not go astray. They remained faithful. You know, they were not perfect. They had their problems, yes. God condemned them many times. But still they remained faithful to the law of God. They didn't say the law of God is done away with. They didn't tell people, forget about the law of God. We've got our own law. Listen to the church, not to God. You see? It doesn't mean that they were perfect. They've got all their problems too. They too are going to bear their iniquity. But in this case here he says, they remained faithful. And so he says, the sons of Tzadok, who kept charge of my sanctuary, when the children of Israel went astray from me, they shall come near me to minister to me, and they shall stand before me to offer to me the fat and the blood, says the Eternal God, Yehovah Elohim, or Jesus Christ. This is the very person we're speaking here. You see? He is going to come back to his people. The temple will be rebuilt. Ezekiel is going to be in charge of that. That's his job. That's one man that you know already exactly what his job is going to be, among others. David is going to be king over all the tribes of Israel. The apostles are going to be in charge of every single one of them, of a tribe of Israel, and so forth. You see? And it says they are going to come here in the church of God, the wife of God, the people of God, the city of God, you see, Jerusalem, a literal one, on earth, not in heaven, and they're going to bring sacrifices. What happened to all the teachings of so-called the Christian ministers? Be it Catholics, Protestants, whatever it may be, Greek Orthodox, Russian Orthodox, vomit, lies, and deceptions. You see? And that's unfortunately what it is. They have all despised the law. That's why a part of them, the major one of them, the major organization of them, were trying to burn the Bible for centuries and called it sin to read it. And teach people to this very day that the church has authority over the Bible. You see, over the Word of God. They're above God. And people follow them. People don't read the Word of God. They have no respect for it. And so it says, these people, they shall enter my sanctuary, and they shall come near my table to minister to me, Jesus Christ, and they shall keep my charge. And so forth. So, here are the Levites that were given this commission, as we read it here in Moses, haven't kept it. And so you see the end of the story. And that's why Christ said, the God of Israel, remember the law of Moses, my servant. Remember these things that I've told you before that. I commanded those things to him. Because if you don't remember, I'm going to bring utter destruction on all of you. That's plain words. And so Moses is reminding them of that. And he's reminding every single one of us today of that very thing. And at that time, the Eternal, Jesus Christ, separated the tribe of Levi to bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Eternal to stand before the Lord. And that's why even when the people that followed Christ, you know, they were called by different names, the Nazarenes, some places, other places, other things, and people, us outsiders, call them Christians. They didn't call themselves Christians, followers of Christ, you know, followers of the Messiah, Messianic. You see, obviously they followed him, but they didn't give them, you know, themselves that name, Because God gave them their name, the Church of God, the Church of Elohim. Why? Because they were begotten by God. That's the official name. And how many people like to be called by that name today? There aren't many. Everyone likes to come, you know, their own name for it. Anything but what God said. But those who call themselves a name by that name, Church of God, the overwhelming majority of them, it's just a name. That's all it is. They themselves have contempt and they despise the law of God. So it's just a name. And those who call themselves witnesses of God, it's just a name. They do not really witnesses of God, you know, unless you obey the law of God, the law of Moses, from beginning until the end, everything that is applicable, you're a liar. If you call yourself a witness, you know, a Jehovah Witness, begin with, his name is not Jehovah, but Yehovah. You see? So, even with the name, they're already on the left foot. They're wrong. And so, this is what God said here. He separated the tribe of Levi for that purpose, and Levi, unfortunately, was not as faithful as he should be, even though some part of them still remain faithful, at least to a degree, to this very day. And this is what you read here, in verse 9, and wherefore Levi has no portion, he says to them, nor inheritance with his brethren. In other words, God did not divide the land among all, you see, the tribes of Israel and the people of Israel, you see. Yes, he gave it to the majority of them, the overwhelming majority, but not all, because Levi didn't get it. So that's not all. And so what he said about Levi, okay, you Israelites, I'm going to spread, in essence, Levite among all of you, because you need teachers, obviously, everywhere. I don't need them all in Jerusalem, because you don't live in Jerusalem. You're all over the country. So he divided all of them, and he made Israel give them 48 cities. And then he told them, if you expand to more other territories, give them a portion of land. You see? Not a large part of it, you see, because they're going to receive the tithe. And so they don't need a huge piece of land like, you know, all the others need to, because they need to grow crops. But give them at least a little bit of land so they can build a house and have a little land around it. And so when you bring them cattle and their own cattle, and they can grow vegetables on a daily basis and fruits and things like that, you know, not wait until they come bring them food and take care of themselves. And so they will spread all over the country, all over the land. And that was the law of God, and later on, that's what Paul was saying. The law has ordained. They who preach the gospel should live on the gospel. Well, where else can you go to the gospels and find that? Nowhere would you find that. So what is he referring to? When he says the Lord has ordained that, that those who preach the gospel must live on the gospel. This is where you read it, right here. And other places. And obviously he mentioned that too to them, though it was not written, recorded. You see? But that's in essence, this is ultimately what he's appealing to. Where Jesus Christ, the one that he said Israel followed, he had ordained that the people who serve the people should be receiving something of the people. A lot of people don't realize that, what Paul was talking about when he came to that point, to that statement. You see, in their ignorance, because they don't know the entirety of the book. They divided it into books and chapters and divisions. God is not the author of division. Man is. Satan is. That's where they got it from. That's the reason why they think, well, you know, we just go by only what we read beginning from Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and so forth. Well, Jesus Christ began to speak from Genesis 1:1. And if we are not living by every word that proceeds out of his mouth, we are liars. A lot of us are. Very few are not. And he that has an ear, knows Christ would say, let him hear. If you've got an ear to hear and to obey. And so he said, wherefore Levi has no portion nor inheritance with his brethren. The eternal is his inheritance. What does that mean? God owns heaven and earth. He gave it to us. But he says, I want 10% of that and you give it to me. You see? But what do you mean me? I'm not hungry. I'm not among you, you know, on a personal basis, just like you are. But I have representatives. You feed them. Well, that law was for the Levites. And then God called also, beside the Levites, prophets, judges. Well, he didn't need to give them the tithe to the prophets and the judges. What did he give them? Whatever they needed to care for you, to do whatever work he gave them. And when he came on earth in the flesh, he did not go around demanding the tithe for himself and his disciples. You see? But he accepted contributions and donations. You see? Because that's all he was doing. He was not working. Had he been working, he wouldn't need that, just like Paul said. Well, you know, in some churches you realize that there are the kind of people that the money is so important to them. He said, well, forget about money, I'm going to go to work, I'll feed you anyway. And so he was making tents. But also he told them, as he told others, you know, I have robbed other churches. In other words, I've taken donations and contributions from other churches. But never did they ever mention the tithe. Why? Because that was the law of God, you give it only to the Levites. But as for the others, also the law is still the same. They who preach the gospel, to the degree, whatever they do, feed them, take care of them. You see? And when people stop doing it, well, the Levites say, well, now I've got to make a living, you know, feed my family, so forget about the people that want to feed me, I'm not going to feed them. Well, in the process, everybody was a loser. You see? And obviously, you have to study the office of a Levite. What are the responsibilities? What is he accountable for? What is he supposed to do? Many things. When you find one like that, that does all these kind of things, as we mentioned that several times before that, what the Levite does, you know, besides blessing people and offering sacrifices on your behalf and praying for you and all that, he's your physician, he's your lawyer, he's your judge, he's your educator, he's your healer. He teaches you many things about agriculture and construction and many things like that, from the law of God, obviously, and all the expertise that they accumulated as time went by. And when people like that were doing it, well, that's when the people gave them the tithe. And to begin with, they had to be officially proclaimed to be the Levites. But if you wanted to do it of your own free will, God didn't say, well, I don't want you to give them the tithe, you know, they're not Levites. That's your business. But he certainly did not tell people, you go and use this law of the Levites and say, well, this tithe now belongs to me because I'm a minister of the gospel. You see, that's robbery. A lot of people are robbers and thieves, and they demand the whole thing when they do only a very little bit of it. If your week, you know, work week is 40 days, you cannot go work only 1 hour and demand the whole paycheck. And that's exactly what many are doing. Now, the Levite were commanded to do many things. You got to study the whole thing, not just read one scripture and say, oh, okay, that's it. Study the whole thing. Understand the whole Levitical system. Everything that has to do with it. Then from that point of view, you begin to proceed, because people don't do it. And to begin with, the leaders, the spiritual leaders, the clergy, are not doing it for, you know, either they are ignorant to begin with, or for convenience sake, you see. They just use, you know, one scripture here and there, and say, aha, you see, it says that you got to pay tithe to the Levite, and I'm a Levite now, because, you know, the scripture says there, you know, Paul was quoting the fact that, you know, now Christ is in charge, and the priesthood, you know, there was a change of the law, now you give it to me. You see, Paul never demanded the tithe, the apostles never demanded the tithe from the people. That's why oftentimes he said they went hungry. They were naked. You see, they had lacks. Had they told the tithe everywhere they went, they would always be with abundance of money. But they weren't. Yeah, where people were obedient and merciful and kind and all that, they gave them their needs. That's what Christ said, you know, you go to people like that, preach them the gospel, and they feed you, you know, whatever they set on the table, that's what you eat. You don't say, hey, I'm here, minister of the gospel, you put right here on the table my tithe, or else you are a robber or a thief. Yeah, that's exactly what many have done. That's why Paul said, all seek their own, speaking about Timothy in contrast, that's all they are after, filthy lucre, not the things of Christ. And that's what Christ said about all those that came before him, and for that matter, all those that come after him, the majority of them, all are thieves and robbers. They just are there to do their own thing. Yes, you know, religion is a big business. People go to study how to do it, how to raise funds, how to get money out of people, how to persuade them and convince them, how to twist the scriptures, you know, to empty your pockets. That's all they're after. You see? And that's a folly to them. Because they're doing it for filthy lucre, and all that is going to be corruptible anyway. And when they come before the judgment seat, what are they going to have? So, this is the role of the Levite here. Therefore, he says, they have no portion with the brethren. The Lord is his inheritance, according to the eternal, your God, spoken to him. And then, in other places, you know, there are instructions. What does it mean to bring offerings to God? And who ends up with it? And what parts of it, you see? God even specified what parts are given to the Levites. They couldn't decide on their own. Verse 10, now I stayed in the mount as at the first time, 40 days and 40 nights, and the Lord hearkened unto me that time also, speaking about the second time when he went up there, the second 40 days and 40 nights after he broke the tables of stones, and the Lord would not destroy you. And the Lord said unto me, arise, go before the people, causing them to set forward that they may go in to possess the land. Okay, stop mowing, sticking around here and just going in circles. Go and possess the land. Go and inherit the kingdom. Lay hold on the plow, as Jesus Christ said. He that puts his hand to the plow and then looks back is not worthy of me. That's what God is telling him, Moses here. This is the very God who said that later on. This is Jesus Christ speaking here. Okay, you go there. Put your hand to the plow and go until the end of the road until you possess the land. Do your work. Work your own salvation with fear and trembling. It's all the same teachings. You don't see any new thing coming, under the sun in the New Testament, so-called the New Testament. That's what Christ came to magnify the Torah. That's what the apostles were doing. And the ignoramuses never understood it. And to this very day, they don't. They don't know what they're talking about. They think it's another religion, another God, another gospel, another doctrine. And it's not. It's all the same from beginning until the end. So it says, arise, you go there, you cause them to sit forward, make them go forward. Don't stick around here and just sit down and sit in your rocking chair and say, I've been saved. I don't need to do anything. Christ did it all for me. God did it all for me. He says, you make them go forward that they may go in and possess the land which I swore unto their fathers to give unto them. Now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? Ultimately speaking, what is the bottom line to this very day, every single one of us? But to fear the Lord your God. Is that the end of it? Just fear Him? A lot of people fear God. That's all they do. Just fear God. I'm afraid of God. So what? As James said, so what? You fear God? The devil does too, and his demons do too. So what? Now he continues. What do you want to fear God for? To walk in all His ways. And that's the name of His religion. And if you fear God and you do not do that, you do it all in vain. You see? So when you fear God, you walk in all of His ways, not your ways. You forsake your ways, that's wicked. Walk in His ways. And to love Him, and to serve the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul, and He can do it. When you do your own thing, half truth, half error, or a little bit of truth and a lot of error, or a lot of truth and a little bit of error, you can't do it. That's not love. You see? Because God demands all of His ways, so you have to forget, despise, have contempt, have the same attitude that Paul said, I considered all the things that I had before as dung, refuse, garbage. And people have other names for it today. You see? Anything that is not of God, that's what he was talking about. A lot of people in their ignorance and blindness think that he's talking about the law of God that he followed in before, that he walked in, the law of Moses. That's not what he's talking about. No man of God would ever dare speak like that. He's talking about all the position that I had there, the prestige, the other teachings that were not of God. This is what he's talking about here. Those were not the ways of God. Those were of man, not of God. That's what he called dung. And so all those things that we have received from man, our church, organization, whatever it may be, and not from God himself, which he spoke through Moses and then the prophets and then magnified, you see later on, himself in person, then his disciples have done the same. That's what he's talking about here. You forsake all that and you walk in His ways. And that's what God requires of us. You see? You do that. You walk in all His ways and you love Him and you serve Him, the Lord your God, with all of your heart and with all of your soul, to keep for your good the commandments of the Lord, Jesus Christ, who said to the one Master, what must I do to enter into life? He said, keep the commandments. Remember the law of Moses. That's what he was telling him in essence. Keep the commandments of the Lord. Not Moses, ultimately speaking. Not Israel, not Jews, but the Lord. And His statutes, which I command you this day. I, Moses, can speak like God because God appointed me to be Elohim over you. As he did to Egypt. And Moses does not speak from his own mind. And that's why when Moses speaks, God is speaking. And that's why God said, you remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him. And Moses, as Paul said, he was faithful in all of his household. You see? A lot of people don't know that, and they despise Moses. And they don't realize they despise Jesus Christ. And they're going to have, quite a rude awakening when the time comes, if they're not willing to listen now. And so he says, you keep the commandments of the Lord and His statutes, not your principles and ethics or whatever you call them, or halakha, or whatever it may be, anything that is of man, even though it's mixed with truth, God is not interested in that. That's, he calls that vomit. He says, if you keep his statutes, just the way Moses pronounced them and wrote them. You see? And all the others that he added later on as time went by throughout the prophets, and then later on through the disciples of Christ, and him in person when he came. All that is a part of it. That's the law of the Lord, the commandments of the Lord, which I commanded you this day. Behold, unto the eternal your God belongs the heaven and the heavens of heavens. So what is a heaven? What is a heaven of heavens? A lot of people don't think about that. Well, there is a heaven that is right above us, and we can take a plane and fly into heaven and then come back. That's what Elijah did. He flew into heaven, then he came back somewhere else. You see? That was his airplane at the time. His private, you know, Air Force One, whatever you want to call it at the time. Chariot of fire. You see? That's a heaven that we are in. The birds fly there, and then above that you have the stratosphere. We call it the stratosphere. Stars. But God is above all that. And to that heaven, he never promised anyone to go. You see? And that's another false doctrine that most people believe in. And that includes all the children of Abraham that came either from Judaism, Christianity, or Islam. And to begin with, neither Moses or the prophets, nor Jesus Christ, nor Muhammad ever told that lie, that people go up to heaven, paradise, you know, heaven, after they die. All of them spoke about the resurrection. Yes, including Muhammad. A lot of people don't know that. You want to know that? Read the Quran. You know, if you happen to be a Muslim listening to that, read your own book and see how you've been lied to by your own clerics. Your own Prophet Muhammad always taught that man is going to be in the grave, including himself, until the resurrection. And he's the one that even said that plainly, that only Jesus Christ was the only one that was taken up to heaven. A lot of people are confused about that in that community, and obviously many others too. People should study and prove all things. Yes, there is truth everywhere, but also a mixture of error. And only the Word of God is the pure truth. As you read in the Proverbs, and in the Psalms also, it was purified 7 times. You know, totally perfect and pure. No lies in it. And no lies of the truth. And so he says, this is what God commanded you, to keep for your good, not for your hurt, the commandments of the Lord. Or at the moment, it may seem to be for your own hurt. You say to the boss, look, I keep the Sabbath, and I don't care whether you fire me or not, I'm not going to work on the Sabbath. And the, you know, momentarily it seems to be to your own hurt. Well, momentarily only, because God is testing you to see whether you would obey Him or men, or your own belly, or your own idol, money. And when you prove to God you obey Him, He'll make sure you get a good job, a decent job somewhere else. You see? Maybe not as glorious job that he has before that, high prestige job, whatever it may be, but your needs will be taken care of. And who cares about physical matter to begin with if your heart is in the future and not in the past or the present? You see? And so that's what he's saying here. It's for your good. You keep the commandments of the Lord, the mitzvot, and His statutes, not yours, which I command you this day. Behold, unto the Lord your God belongs heaven and the heaven of heavens and the earth, with all that is therein. Only the Lord had a delight in your fathers to love them, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and He chose their seed, no one else's seed. The chosen people are chosen in spite of them, whether they like it or not, because God determined so. And so they have a job to do, and God is going to make them do it whether they like it or not. And that's not talking only about the Jews, that's the entirety of the house of Israel. 12 tribes of them. And the overwhelming majority of them are known today as Catholics or Protestants or even Muslims. Many millions of them. They don't even know that they are Israelites. Of course, many of them do know, especially those who went into the Far East. They are into Islam, but they know that they are Israelites. They even know the names of their tribes. You see? But many others, when they tell them about their ancestry, they scoff at you. They have contempt for their own heritage. Because they think, well, why not? I don't want to be a Jew. You see, well, you're not a Jew, you're an Israelite, because Jews only came from Judah, you see, and then those who joined the house of Judah also became known as Jews, even though they were either Benjamites like Paul or Mordecai. That's my name, Mordecai, but Mordecai was not a Jew in truth. He was a Benjamite from the house of Judah. That is, you know, just like you're an American, you came from Poland, now you're called an American, but you're still Polish. You see, that's your ancestry. And so it is there, but that's for all of Israel. As I mentioned several times, all the people of Israel that went and ended up in most of northwestern Europe, you know, beside the Germans, most of the Germans, those who were in the north, you see, in northern Germany, there are still Israelites. Many of them came over here and they think they're Germans, so they are not, they're Israelites. Well, anyway, I think we're going to stop at this point. Again, this is Mordecai Joseph. Greetings to all of God's people. Until next time.